And hello, everyone. Welcome back to Top Bins with Twins. This is Luke here, and we are going to be talking to you all this week about how to use those AFCON transfers that so conveniently appeared in our accounts, which really...
Free money.
Five free transfers. Incredible. Hey, Paul, you're there. I didn't see you.
It's so weird. We're not used to doing this.
Paul, say hi to everyone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Happy to be back on the pod this week.
Welcome. Happy to be back. He's just too excited.
I'm out of practice, honestly. I'm just excited to be back with Luke doing a podcast in person.
So. Yeah, no, it's nice. It's really good to have you back here in the studio, you know, special place. So
an undisclosed location.
Yes.
In a warehouse.
We can't say where we're at, you know, in the middle of London somewhere, the industrial. No, I'm kidding. We're not there. But what we are doing... is we are going to talk about Premier League football and talk about some FPL results that came about this weekend, the past couple weeks, what we expect to see. And like I said earlier, really focusing on how to use those AFCON transfers as effectively and as efficiently as possible, with the idea that hopefully you're not burning through all five of those that you just got in the first week. Because these free transfers could be a life raft for a lot of people's teams. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about how our weeks went in FPL this previous week in Game Week 15. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Paul. Tell everyone how you did, how many points you got, and what you thought about your week.
Yeah, so I should finish on 60 points this game week. We are recording this right after the United and Wolves fixture ended about an hour ago. Mm-hmm. So as long as nothing else changes, should be around 60 points. It's going to put me around 74K in the world, which I'm really happy with. That's I couldn't be happier, honestly, with how my season's going right now. But So I had Sanchez on 10 points this week, which was 3 bonus points for a goalkeeper. It's awesome to have a goalkeeper do that. Like, that's such a big boost to your team, especially.
He little fortunate to get that clean sheet. Probably should have lost it a couple times. But both teams just kind of wasteful. But it was one of those where 0-0 kind of made sense at the end. So.
Yeah. And then I also had Phil Foden, who's been an exceptional transfer for me. I think Luke's going to start punching the wall whenever we're in the middle of the podcast if we talk that much about Foden. Luke's favorite player, honestly. Probably your favorite player.
I was talking to my wife about this as I was, you know, commiserating after my horrible FBL week. And I was like, I picked Doku over Foden because it seemed like the logical choice, but any day out of the week, I pick Foden if I'm just picking a player, right? So you live and you learn, right?
You live and you learn.
But, okay, so is that it for your team, Paul?
Well, I also have Bruno Fernandes in this haul, too. So that, besides that, I mean, I captained Haaland this week. Didn't work out. I had Richards who at DEFCON. So really, I mean, my whole team was carried by basically 3 players, which is really good. I mean, I'll take it, but would love to see more of an even distribution and a higher tally than 60, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I get that.
Good week.
Yeah, good week. I mean, like you said, you're, 75K, 76K overall or so right now, which is a very impressive rank. And you're definitely leading the pack in a lot of our mini leagues and pushing for a really good rank. And I like the way your team's set up right now too, because I think you have those edge pieces that are returning, but then you also have, you know, your mainstays like Bruno Fernandes, 18 points. That goes insanely far, far away. And I do think that you have Saka in your team. Sometime in the next couple of weeks, maybe Wolves at home, he's going to have an explosive week.
And when he should have scored 2 when he came on 2 weeks ago against Brentford. I mean,
And whenever he has that week, I think you're going to be, you know, you'll break into that maybe top 10K or something like that, right? If you get captaincy right that week. So we'll excited to see how your season plays out. I will catch you at one point, whether that means I have to win the game, but I will catch you.
I mean, we're getting almost to the halfway point of the FPL season, and we know how long the FPL season is. It's a marathon. That it's not it a sprint. Is. So I'm not like, I'm happy with the way things are, but very cautious.
Said as an experienced FPL manager there.
It's going to rip my heart out eventually.
Yes. It does tend to do that. And that is a good segue to my team.
Doom and gloom, here we go.
They have, in the past about 5 weeks, they have They have ripped my heart out, thrown it in the street. It's been run over a couple times. Then it drained in the sewer. It's now in the ocean and being eaten by sharks. So that's where my heart is at with FPL at the moment. It's with the sharks. I am going to end the week on 46 points. I had two players return in my team. That was Nico O'Reilly with his clean sheet and then Bruno Fernandes. Osaka got his assist as well, but he did get a yellow card. So I captained Voltimade. So I didn't make the mistake everyone did with captaining Haaland, but Voltimade couldn't find the back of the net, which
he had some good chances.
Is
I mean, he
kind
had the
of
header.
Becoming a theme a little bit.
That's why I took him out, man.
It's he's kind of something we talk about a lot. Harry Kane was the perfect player because you could bring him in your team and he would just chip away at points week in, week out. He's kind of like that, but Voltimade, kind of similar to Harry Kane, it felt like he should be having these 2-3 goal games almost every week, right? He's getting a lot of chances and hasn't been overly clinical with them. So it concerns me a little bit. I'm going to keep him. I don't think I'm going to get rid, but frustrated because I felt like he could have returned. And if I get a captaincy return from him this week, then I'm fine. I have a green arrow. I'll end up with a red arrow of about 200k. So overall, really not that bad. Bruno kind of saved my bacon big time this week.
Yeah, he did.
He
saved a lot of us, I'd say.
If I'm going to talk about this week, then I need to fairly represent how bad of a decision I made this week. I brought in Lucas Hull for Mark Gahey, who ended up on an 8-pointer, 9-pointer with his goal that he scored against Fulham in the 90th minute, maybe even further in than that. And Lewis Hull did not even start for Newcastle, but subbed on. So, yay. I am just really loving FPL right now. But with that being said, I think I can get a lot better, make more practical rooted decisions. Lewis Hull could still turn out to be a great transfer. He's not someone I'm going to get rid of. I don't have any plans to. So we'll just leave him where he is for the time being. But I do think that the AFCON transfers will be important to my team.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of changes that need to happen. And I've already made a change that needed to happen.
You said you already made one transfer?
Right before the podcast. I brought
Do you want to reveal it? You don't have to, honestly. That's
no, I'm happy to reveal it. It is Harry Wilson. I brought him in for Jeremy Pino and saved money on it, which is crazy because Pino is, I think, 5.8, something like that. And Harry Wilson was a measly 5.2 million. So that frees up some cash and that allowed me to make further transfers in the week as I see some more movement in prices. But the price rises have been crazy and price falls as well because people have all these transfers and they're like, what am I going to do? But, prime example of that, Phil Foden.
I was going to say, what's he at now?
He's at 8.6, 8.5, I believe.
8.5.
He's risen six or seven times already in about the last week.
I got him at 8.2, so I was even kind of late, honestly.
Yeah. Yep. So he has skyrocketed. He will be capped how many more times he can rise throughout the rest of the week because of, I think someone was saying UCL fixtures, so that limits how many times you can go up. Mm-hmm. But Foden has been tearing it up. And going back to, this is the last topic I'll talk about, but going into game week 12, I was between Jeremy Doku, who was off the back of that Liverpool performance where he looked really good. I think he had a goal and an assist, dominated the match. Looked like the best player on the pitch.
His best performance in a City Cup.
Right? So at that point, I was between Foden or Doku. Kind of rode the wave with Doku and decided to go with him against what my gut was telling me. And Foden has now scored 31 more points than Doku in the past 3 weeks, which is a huge difference in where my rank lies.
It's so difficult, Luke, too, because, I mean, like, I think I went with Foden just because, like, I think his upside is technically higher than Doku's, you know, but I mean, you weren't wrong for making that decision at the time though. You know, I feel like it's really easy to be a prisoner of the moment right now with kind of what folks done over the past couple of weeks. But yeah,
sorry, this tea is really hot for those who are listening.
So I really don't think you were wrong for that transfer. It just hasn't worked out for you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of FPL. I mean, we can have instances, you know, where you make a transfer and it's really good for 2 weeks and things are working great. And then you look at it from the perspective of 36 game weeks or 38, right?
38.
Sorry.
My 20 brain. Teams. They can't play themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
They play every team 30, twice.
38. But it's all so contextual. I mean, we're going to talk about this a little bit, but like kind of like if you just look at the Premier League table any given week, you can kind of be a prisoner of the moment to the table, really.
This table?
The one directly behind us?
If you happen to see Ipswich, Leicester, and Southampton on there, that is actually Sunderland, Burnley, and Leeds. So
yeah, just invert them in your mind.
Yes. But no, I agree with what you're saying. It's tough to not be a prisoner of the moment and think about the decisions that have not gone your way. But when I did make those choices, I made them with pretty logical reasoning that Doku's the one in form. He's cheaper. Looks to be pretty locked in the starting 11, which has really kind of came to fruition until he gets benched this weekend. And I don't have, but it is what it is. So I completely agree with what you're saying. I need to have that perspective that, you know, it's about the long term. So
it is, but I'm just saying though that, I mean, like, I think a lot of your transfers this season, your glasses are fogging up.
Whoops.
Pop that to you. But I mean, it's just difficult. I mean, Anthony Gordon, that transfer, I mean, he's now scored 2 straight game weeks.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started.
I knew exactly what I was doing there.
God about him. Draco Malfoy looking ass. God, man. I can't. Okay. Here's my thing. I had Anthony Gordon for about 6 weeks. Zero returns. Zero returns from him the entire time. And then I geniusly decide Voltamade is the one. That's where I need to go. So I bring in Voltamade. And don't forget, game week 6 or 7, I have Gordon in my team. He gets subbed out in the 65th, 70th minute. Voltamade takes the pen in the 85th. Well, the inverse happened to me last week. Well, now twice. Oh my God.
Back to back weeks.
Dude, I'm losing my head right now. This is not good.
I know you're kind of devolving a little or falling apart right now.
Okay. All right.
We're gonna center ourselves.
You all see where I'm going with this. Gordon has been bad in my team, and Voltamade.
That's on me. I take the credit.
Has been
for
switching.
That one.
So yes. All right. Moving along to the next segment of the podcast before I just, you know, blow a gasket or have an aneurysm. So
no.
Going over to what we're going to talk about next. Everyone now has 5 free AFCON transfers that they can use in their teams. They just magically appeared from the France transfer fairies that dropped them into your accounts. And now they're out there. Everyone has 5 free transfers. And what we're going to do is make some suggestions on the best players to use those transfers on. What we've done, though, is we've broken down each positional ranking. So from defenders to midfielders to attackers. And then we're going to provide you an option, 3 options from each one of those categories. That's either a really safe pick, a moderate pick, or a very risky pick is what we're going to do. And I think, as always, the best thing to do is build from the back. So we'll start with defenders, Paul. If you want to go first, let's go safe to risky. So start out with your safe bet.
My safe bet is going to be an Arsenal defender. I'm not wearing an Arsenal kit. What's going on?
Yeah.
That's shocking. But it's going to be Timber.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
I think at this point, he's essentially nailed in the Arsenal team. And I could be wrong. Who knows? I mean, they're playing Wolves, Champions League midweek. I would be shocked if he's not playing. Apparently, Saliba is getting back healthier, but Timber, with the way he's playing at right back,
Do you know where Gabriel is currently at the moment?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay. There's that, but I was also hearing some people talking today about how timber was what Villa really keyed in on.
Well, so I think a lot of what happened there is like there was just space. I think they were, Arsenal were really trying to split their center backs at moments in the build up to possession, but Villa really utilized that said space, and Timber and Kimpembe don't have the kind of relationship. I mean, this is the seventh pairing that Arsenal has played as center backs this season.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I hear you.
That is really crazy. And the fact that their defense has been so successful this season is pretty crazy.
It's very impressive. Yeah.
But my rationale for Timber, he's shown up. It's been, that was more earlier in the season, but he's shown up with goals, assists, providing returns. Arsenal have the best defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like, of all the attackers, I mean, if I'm just looking at next game week, I'd probably look at Lewis Skelly, though, and also Ben White, too.
Like, if you're on a free hit, or if you're transferring.
If you're purely looking at the next game week, I would say Lewis Skelly or Ben White. But if we're looking long-term, I'd say Timber. Because he's gonna be starting on that Arsenal team. You may miss rotation this next weekend, but if you're looking, if we're just talking to set your team up for the next 10 game weeks, he's the one I would go for.
Yeah, yeah, I like Timber. Only thing about him is he's really expensive. If you have the budget, I think he's the standout pick for now until Gabriel comes back.
Mm-hmm.
I have been toying around with the idea of Hincape. I think he's an interesting pick. He's a good price. And Gabriel seems like he's going to be out longer than Saliba.
Yeah.
And I could see him playing as that left center back. I think Arteta really likes having Calafiori play that roaming left back role. Yeah. That fits him really well. So Hincape is someone else to kind of keep in mind. But Timber, I agree, is the safe pick with Arsenal. So
yeah. I mean, if we're talking upside, though, I would go Calafiori. Of course, you don't want to bring him in for this game week.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this is somebody that, what was it, 2 weeks ago against Brentford, he was taking shots from like a nine position towards the end of the match. Like,
yeah, I'm really frustrated. Calafiori isn't going to be able to play against Wolves. That really throws a wrench in my plans, and that's going to force me to probably use another transfer, although it won't be on Calafiori. So, my safe pick for defenders, and I'll go quick on this one speaks for itself, is Joachim Anderson. I think he is very reliable from DEFCON perspective. He averages above 10 DEFCON per match, which is really nice, so you can almost pencil that in depending upon the match, of course. But he has 54 total points as of this point in the FPL. An XG of 0.54, so not a real big goal threat, but I love the fixtures that Fulham have coming up. They have Burnley away, Forest at home, West Ham away, and then Crystal Palace away, Liverpool, Chelsea, Leeds, Brighton. So he's someone that we can bring him in for this really good stretch and then keep him around and play him for the odd week, right? He's priced at 4.5 million, so he's a good price range to where you're not breaking the bank to get him in. And a lot of people out there have Virgil van Dijk in their team. You can basically get van Dijk for about 1.5 million cheaper is what Joachim Anderson offers with better fixtures.
With probably a better chance of keeping a clean sheet too.
I would say that. Here's the thing though. Liverpool, we're probably going to keep a clean sheet up until Konate decided to just jump into Okafor for absolutely no reason. So that was frustrating because I was hoping to get that Van Dijk clean sheet this week. But
me too, man.
At least he hit DEFCON. So I will go into my moderate pick for defenders for the upcoming game week. My moderate pick is Matty Cash with Aston Villa.
He was actually my second option for safe.
Currently at 8.8% ownership. He also is on 73 total points for a defender, which don't know exactly how that compares to the rest of defenders, but he has to be one of the top five returning defenders in the game, if not top three in my mind. So he's been really good. His XG, though, concerns me a little bit. He has been returning goals and assists, but the numbers don't necessarily indicate that might continue. But he's taking up good positions. So I think it's just he's being more clinical, and I don't expect him to stop occupying those positions, if that kind of contextually makes sense.
Yeah.
he's someone I like, but I think he's a little risky because I don't trust Villa. So that's why I have him as moderate.
I shall say nothing.
So on to your moderate pick then.
Yep. So for me, this one also could fall into like, it's just honestly pretty simple, but Munoz. And the only caveat with that, why he wasn't my first selection for like this, a safe pick, is because we don't know what the situation is right now with his injury.
Glasner said that he probably wouldn't be available this weekend.
No, I didn't he say midweek?
And no, then... I think he said, had another quote come out today.
Oh, really?
I believe. And I think he might miss game week 16 and then maybe be back after that.
To me, I mean, even if somebody out there is a Munoz owner right now and they're questioning if they should keep him, I think he has to stay in your team. Because for what he offers with Palace and Palace's ability to actually keep clean sheets, I think he's a no-brainer. I think he should be in every FPL team.
Yeah, he's a really good pick.
I mean, what was it, 2 weeks ago, he had a 14-pointer because he turned up with the goal, had a clean sheet. Like, and he just casually does those things. I mean, he had two assists to Mateta in one match. Like,
my hope is that he drops in price a couple times.
Well, I hope not, because I own
That's
him.
Right, but... selfishly not owning him, I hope he drops a couple times and then
get
I can bring him in at a cheaper price. So what is your aggressive pick for defender, Paul?
So I don't really have a big preference here, but it's going to be a Brentford defender.
It's that's super, what I said too.
Is it really? That's yeah. Not surprising.
Okay, so if you don't have a preference, then I'll tell you my preference because I have one.
Vandenberg.
Yeah, it's Sepp Vandenberg. I currently have him in my team. I've benched him 2 weeks in a row, which I'm glad I have. But I knew I wanted him for this upcoming stretch that Brentford have.
It is really good.
They have Leeds at home, Wolves away, Bournemouth at home, and then Tottenham at home. On top of Everton away, Sunderland at home, Chelsea away, Forest at home. So that gets you through about the next 7 to 8 game weeks. And all of those, maybe some of those you do want to rotate him onto your bench. But at the 4.5 million that he's at, we're more than happy to do that. He is also a DEFCON monster too. Vandenberg is averaging 8.53 DEFCONs per match. So he is always on the brink of getting 10 DEFCON and getting those two extra points, which go a really long way, right? Like that really makes a big difference for our teams. So, and his XG is also 1.86. That is really high for a center back.
Yeah.
He is going to find his way on one of the corners sometime in the near future. And against the teams that they have lined up, I would not be surprised to see him get a goal. So. Yeah,
the only thing I will say about Brentford, which I did put in my notes before the pod, is that they haven't kept a clean sheet since game week 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, like, I know we went the DEFCON returns, we went all that stuff, but, like, really, the still the best vehicle to get points in your team is to have clean sheets in your back line.
Yeah.
That's the most passive income way, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
To just get a team that banks those clean sheets every week.
No, I agree. Those are Arsenal, Palace, those kind of teams.
But if you do look at the fixtures, I mean, so over the last, like, the last couple game weeks, they played Tottenham, Arsenal, Brighton, Newcastle, Palace, Liverpool, City. Like, that's a difficult run of fixtures.
Yeah.
So it makes complete sense why they haven't kept a clean sheet.
It does.
In the last,
their returns have kind of been drying up as well for Thiago, right? Because he had been returning really nicely, and I think he's up to 10 goals on the season, something like that. Mm-hmm. But those were tough fixtures for Brentford. And, you know, clouds have cleared a little bit, and the sun's about to shine on Brentford is how I feel about it.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. Do you want to hop to the midfielders, Luke?
Yes, I will go first for my safe pick.
I feel like we have the same one.
Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, okay. No, that's good. I don't have that one.
Yep. Bruno Fernandes, someone that I've talked about on the pod many times this season. He did not hit DEFCON this week, but ends up on 18 points, saving my bacon again. I can't believe I said that again on the podcast, but here we are. Yes, Bruno Fernandes, really think he's a great asset. He's that combination of DEFCON, attacking returns. He gets 2 goals and 1 assist tonight. Becomes the leading point scorer in the midfield position. mm-hmm. which does not surprise us one bit. Manchester United, of course, had to concede a goal, though.
God.
And that is not great.
Luke, don't crash out. Luke, come on. Come on.
I won't. That's kind of expected for United at this point. I was taking a risk there. Paul, who is your safe midfield pick?
Sir Philip Foden.
Yeah.
I just think, honestly, at this point, it's pretty, like, self-explanatory. I think Foden should basically have to, like, work himself out of everybody's team at this point. Like, he has... I have it pulled up right here. Just, if you pull him up in the FPL app, over the last three game weeks, he has a return of 15 points, 17 points, and 12 points. I'm not trying to increase your pain. I'm really not. I'm just trying to convince other people that, like, he really should be convincing you at this point to not be in your team.
I think that's a good way to phrase it.
The upside's there. He's returning every week. I mean, there's not a better FPL asset right now.
I love the narrative that people are getting to, where the question is, when Man City play West Ham in 17, I believe, at home, people are starting to say Mo Foden's the obvious triple captain. And I don't think it's crazy to think that, right? Because he's playing so well. The returns are flowing in and he looks great, right? That's the thing, is, you know, when Foden is locked in and when he's feeling that joy when he's playing football, and you can see the joy in how he's playing right now. And he's surrounded by incredibly creative players too. Ryan Cherky, what an incredible player. The way that he looked in that fixture this weekend against Sunderland, he absolutely just, you can't game plan for a player that is that skilled, that technical. And like, there was one where he made a run on the end line. I can't remember who the defender was, but I think it was Xhaka. He went around him, ball rolled again, went around another defender, and then he's incredible. He's so much fun to watch.
Cherky is like the definition of like a footballer that's like the streets won't forget, you know? Where like he could have randomly been in the Premier League in like 2005, and you'd see compilations of him on Twitter if he would have played for, like, I don't know, a lower tier team at that point in time, people would have been like, oh my god, who is this? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
No, he's great. He's especially, and he, I think he still is even settling into the City team too.
He is. The role that he's playing in, he kind of is rotating with Reinders. So we don't know who's going to play. I think Bernardo Silva also occupies that space a little bit too. So it's hard to know, but whenever he's on the pitch, he's a joy to watch. He's great. And that then benefits Foden even more by playing with him too. So,
all right, man, let's hear who's your safe midfield pick.
My safe midfield pick is, no. I already did my safe midfield pick. I did Bruno.
Oh, that's right.
My moderate pick is Leandro Trossard.
I love it.
The concern with Trossard is he has had a knock, but I think he was on a minutes restriction. That's why he subbed in and subbed right out in the second half this weekend against Villa. But Trossard has been overly involved in all the good things happening for Arsenal this season. His numbers, he ended up on... he has 58 total FPL points at the moment. He also has an XG of 2.6, which kind of surprised me. But if we look at Trossard, he only is owned by 0.8% of the game.
And he's been better than Saka. He's been better than Eze.
Yeah.
Better than, he hasn't been better than Rice. But...
No, Rice has been kind of the clear... Rice has been the best midfield pick from the Arsenal assets up to this point in the season. I do think Saka is going to have a couple weeks where he just goes crazy. Couple goals, maybe a couple assists. Goal to assist, whatever it may be, he's going to have one of those weeks that just push him up the points totals really quickly. But with Trossard, I think my only hesitation is, does he start this weekend? I would wait to see if he's starting in Champions League this week. I believe Arsenal have, is it Benfica?
No, it's Club Brugge.
Okay, they have Club Brugge. Do you know, is it at home or is it away?
I have it here on my phone. Let's see. I'm pretty sure it's...
It would be away?
Yeah, no, it's away.
Yeah, so it's away. that's going to be a tricky fixture for Arsenal. Not an easy fixture in Champions League. So I would expect Trossard to start.
I think you're going to see a lot of rotation there, that Arsenal team, because, I mean, they technically have already locked up a spot in the round of 16.
Okay,
they're the only team that's clinched so far.
If we see Trossard not starting in the UCL, I think he's a very viable option. And with the way this Wolves team played against Manchester United, Arsenal could break the goal record for a single game.
Let's hope
with
so.
How bad they've been. So I also
I
see
that for this weekend.
Me too. I see a lot of people talking about captaining Saka, and I think that is the clear captaincy pick for this week. Is Saka at home to Wolves? Yeah, I that's where I'll be going.
I think that's a really good shout, Luke. I really do like the Trossard pick though, because he's just so clinical.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's truly insane. Like the goal that he scored against, I think it was the Sunderland goal, where he just picks up the ball on the edge, kind of like jukes one defender and just sends a missile into the upper V. Like he's crazy. Like imagine if Arsenal would have signed Mudryk instead of Trossard.
That would be kind of crazy.
Like, good God. Yeah.
I've said this on the podcast before, but Trossard feels like the type of player that he goes home after a good day of win, you know, Arsenal win the match. And he goes home and he's like, I scored a goal, but most importantly, I megged three defenders.
Yeah.
He seems like that kind of.
Like how many skill points did I get?
I would love to meet Trossard. I think, yeah, he's got that dog in him.
Well, you know, like, honestly, when you're watching a match, like in the first 5 minutes, you know when he's on or he's off. Like it's
you
so
can
clear.
Tell. Yeah. You really so can. Evident. Yeah, you can.
Right, yeah. Well, I love that pick, Luke. That's really good. Let's see. So my medium midfield pick is the no longer leader of midfield points, Semenyo.
Moderate pick. You're recommending people bring him in?
Yeah. This is controversial.
That it is.
So I was torn between him and Gordon. I think both of them, you could make an argument for both of them. I think I'm kind of the mindset sometimes where I want to go counterculture to where players are. I know Semenyo's numbers have completely leveled out. Bournemouth have not been as good. But if you even look over the past couple game weeks, he has been around returns. It just hasn't happened for him. Like there was the goal he should have scored that Evan Nelson cleared off the line, and I think it was offsides, or he tapped it in.
He was offsides.
He was offsides.
Even Nelson was offsides and then tapped in. That would have been going in.
And I will say, maybe start Krupe Jr. again. Maybe bring him back in. They did try it this week.
Yeah, but two or three weeks ago. And what had happened is Krupe Jr. had been benched when Ivan Nelson got back. And I think he lost the purple patch he was in because of that.
That's
so.
What happens when you mess up stuff like that, man.
Yeah, exactly. But exactly.
I don't know. I just think it's kind of like counterculture at this point to bring Semenyo in. And he's somebody, he's shown us though that, I mean, like, think back to the Liverpool match this season. That brace where, I mean, he scored two great goals, you know?
Think about all of his goals, though. They come from these moments where a lot of players don't convert those chances. I think there's a lot of variance in the moment that he scores the goals, is how I see it. And I think that leads to this discrepancy where he struggles to finish chances at times because it's really high difficulty what he's trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So, and then when he kind of has the simple chances, it feels like those are even more difficult for him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. He's still figuring out. I think it's been a lot better year for him. He's leveled off. But I mean, they play United away. That's a fixture you can obviously score in.
We know they're not keeping a clean sheet.
And then there's also Burnley at home, Brentford away. The next three fixtures are really good. It gets a little more difficult after that, but I don't know. Semenyo's somebody that I think he will find form again this season. It just depends on when.
Yeah, yeah. He will. I just don't have the nerve with how my season's going at this point to go there and take the risk on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever he's not returning.
A million less, I think it'd be a lot easier sell.
Well, he might be by 2 weeks from now. He's going to be down sub 10% owned at some point. That's not actually going to happen.
Well, he's at 45, so.
Yeah, and I think he almost hit 60, maybe 70 at one point.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So, yeah, I like the pick, but I wouldn't be going there myself.
A little risky.
A little risky.
We're not all the way to the risk yet, but.
A little risky. Yeah. I will go fully risky, though. I'm going to go with another Fulham pick. It's Harry Wilson.
Well, yep. your said transfer.
Said transfer. great value for money.
Really sell yourself on this pod, Luke. You're putting your money where your mouth is.
I am. You know, if I was going to recommend a risky transfer to you all, then I have to do it myself as well.
You said it with your chest.
Harry Wilson, 5.2 million. I'm doing this from memory because I've looked at Fulham stuff so many times. Fulham have Burnley away, Nottingham Forest at home, and then West Ham away, I believe, for the next three fixtures. Very, very good fixtures. And Harry Wilson has returned 7 points or more in his last three fixtures, I believe. Paul can confirm nor did not. He can confirm that. But I really like where Harry Wilson is at currently. He's in really nice form. And it feels like if anything's going to come for Fulham in an attacking way, Harry Wilson's going to be at the heart of it. He's also very similar to Semenyo, where he finishes some chances that you don't expect him to.
I mean,
to.
Look at the goal against Spurs.
Yeah, that was an incredible finish.
Vicario, but like,
it's Vicario, but a lot of players wouldn't have the awareness to know to hit that ball when it's being passed to them at the same time, right? You know, there's a level of awareness there that I think he's very in tune with how the game should be played.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, he's coming in my FPL team, should be in yours as well. So, that's my risky midfield pick. I'm going to pass it over to Paul. Let's see what you came up with.
Is it getting chilly in here? Is it a little chilly? Is that because the window's down, Luke?
That's it. Or is it Cole Palmer?
Where's Cole Palmer's music at?
The Iceman.
No, but I think we're going to see a Cole Palmer renaissance. Let's pull up his. So he is returning from that injury that had him out for, what was it? Like he missed. Let's see. Let's pull his profile.
And while Paul's doing that, flashback to Chelsea deciding to play him in a fixture they didn't need to. And he got injured. And now he's just coming back. So back over to you, Paul.
So he last played in game week 5. So he's missed almost a majority of the season at this point, right?
Yep.
Somebody that at the beginning of the season was not in great form either. I think there were a lot of people that had him in their FPL teams.
Do you remember the report that came out a couple weeks ago where he was supposed to be back earlier and then it was pushed back? And apparently Kukurea sent an interview that it was delayed because he hurt his foot playing FIFA.
You know, I'm just thinking of the one of us. Yeah. One of us.
Yeah. Shout out Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. But he probably of all the midfielders in FPL at his best has the highest peak.
Yeah, he's up there.
There is an argument that Cole Palmer on his best day and a fully functioning Chelsea team just completely changes things for them. I this whole season have not thought that Chelsea was actually like really a title contender. If he gets back and he's healthy and he's playing well,
mm-hmm.
it completely alters their like the dynamics of their season.
It does. And I think an important note here, though, as Palmer's coming back in, Delap is going back out yet again. And that's a partnership that I would have really liked to see blossom.
Yeah,
because I think Palmer would really benefit from having a strong central presence to play off of. And now I guess we'll see either Mark Guy or maybe João Pedro playing as, you know, their nine, which I think Cole Palmer doesn't benefit from as much. So
I would agree
keep
with
an eye on that. But I do like Cole Palmer a lot as a pick.
Yeah. And let's just talk about it real quick. The fixtures. Yeah. So they play Everton at home, Newcastle away, Villa at home, Bournemouth at home, City away, Fulham away. So, I mean, it is very speculative. Like I said, this is my risky recommendation. So, I mean, you could even wait until probably like game week 21. And then the fixtures for Chelsea from 21 to 27, I'm just going to read them off real quick. I don't want to like bury people in fixtures, but like they go Fulham away, Brentford at home, Crystal Palace away, West Ham at home, Wolves away, Leeds at home, Burnley at home. That is simply the best run of fixtures you're going to see in FPL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like from game week 21 to game week 27, that honestly pisses me off because we're going to see Chelsea. They should technically from game week 21 to 27 take 3 points in all those matches, maybe besides Crystal Palace away.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a really good run. It seems like Chelsea weirdly always have a run like this. Because they had a great stretch to start out the season. It was really nice. They had really great fixtures to start out with. But then I remember going back to last season. They had a very similar stretch around this time of the year, too, where it just seemed like they were primed to
things kind of open return. Up a little bit, you know?
So, yes, with those fixtures in mind, and Cole Palmer should be playing himself into form around that time, I think he's a great pick to have. And probably what we'll see around that time is that maybe Phil Foden cools off a little bit and people use a lot of those Phil Foden funds to go to Palmer to get him in their teams.
Yeah. That'd make a lot of sense.
I love the pick though. I think if you really want to be ambitious, going Palmer early, bring him in now is not a horrible play, right? Because you're getting ahead of the curve. And he's like Foden, where if he starts returning, people are going to flock to him. And you'll cash in a lot. You know, there'll be a fair amount of price rises.
I completely agree with you, Luke, because like I think Foden, Bruno, and Palmer all kind of fall in the same category where they can also just show up in a match with 2 assists. It's not like you're like bringing in somebody like, I would say, Haaland, Thiago. Like those kind of players where like you're probably just only looking at goal returns with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can diversify the returns, which is really nice, you know?
Yeah. You know, they really can. It's kind of the power of midfielders, right? When you get the right midfielder, so like Palmer's an example, Saka's an example, Bruno Fernandes. These players are as close to getting assists as they are to scoring goals, which really, like you said, diversifies their pathways to points. And those are the prime assets that we're looking at.
Yeah.
That should be in our teams. So
midfielders may be back.
After going to a certain stretch where people are like, five at the back is back. Maybe midfielders are back. It feels like Foden is leading that charge currently. So we'll see if he continues or someone takes the mantle from him shortly. Okay. So we did midfielders. Let's go to forwards, and then we will wrap up and get out of here for you guys. So my ultra safe pick for forwards
There's only one choice, right?
Thiago.
Oh, I said Haaland.
Oh yeah. Well, everyone has Haaland. Is kind of why I didn't.
I just played it by the book. But go ahead. Let's
no,
hear about
I get
Thiago.
It. I get it. Yeah, you're got to play it by the book. That's how you are, Paul. Yeah.
Let's hear about Thiago.
Thiago. He was one of those players that I looked at the beginning of the season. It's like he's gonna be a pretty good pick. I'm yet to own him yet in FPL though, which is pretty.
You were early on that, I will say.
But it doesn't matter if I don't bring him in. That's what matters most. So I think I'm going to be getting to the point now where he will be coming into my team with the fixtures that Brentford have coming up. And he's still at 6.9 million, I believe. So I really like him as a pick. And I like Brentford's fixtures as well. And we know he's on penalties. Even having missed a penalty, he has 10 goals, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Cooled off a little bit, so I expect to see some people transferring him out. He won't be as hot of a commodity as he was a couple weeks ago. So I like that for bringing him in for Leeds at home. So Thiago is my moderately safe pick. I would expect to see him get a goal or two against Leeds this weekend.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, my pick was Haaland. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
We're on an FPL podcast. Everybody knows about Haaland.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think I need to dive too deep into that one. So I'll just go to my medium level pick.
Sure.
It is Raul Jimenez.
I would put him in the hyper risky category.
It could be risky, but Luke, let's look at this real quick. I wanna bring up a point real quick. I'm just pulling him up on the FPL app.
No, go ahead.
We're just taking a second.
Raul Jimenez, while you're looking, I'm just gonna say I would be concerned about his minutes. And I'd be a little concerned about the returns. So I'd be concerned about a lot.
So, well, let's look at this. I mean, in the current FPL climate, so over the past 4 weeks, he has a return of 6 points and 5 points, right? In the last matchup against Palace, he had an assist, played a full 90 minutes. Their next three fixtures go Burnley away, Nottingham Forest at home,
West Ham away.
Like, you know him. And then Crystal Palace away. I think that fixture run's really good. I don't think there's anybody else that's going to be taking his spot as a starting nine. Like, Muniz is hurt. He's not coming back until, I think, probably like January-ish. Maybe later than that, who knows, with his recovery. So he's going to start. He's going to be their nine.
My concern is that he would hurt himself. The thing is, Jimenez has struggled with injuries in the past. What I would worry is that would rear its head. And he might not be able to make it onto the pitch.
He's also somebody, though, that had a super hot stretch last season.
Yeah, he did.
I think he was getting like 12, 15, whatever those kind of returns are, where it was like a goal, two goals, all that stuff. I just think the run of fixtures is really good. And I think it could work out well for people.
Okay. Yeah. No, he's one of those picks where I can't go there myself. I don't have that belief that he's going to return. But having said that, there's a pathway where he scores two goals this weekend. I just don't think it's as likely. So, you know, I think he's an interesting pick. Very interesting. Just not my cup of tea, I think. So
that's fine.
For my medium pick, I'm going with one of my current strikers, Nick Voltimade.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he's
sell me on that one too hard, really.
He's moderate because he hasn't been returning the way that we would really love. Would like him to be returning points a little more frequently than he is in returning, right? Like getting goals. But moderate because I think he has a really high upside if it starts to really click for him. So Voltimade is my middle ground forward choice for the listeners out there. And my risky forward pick.
I wonder if we have the same one.
Jared Bowen.
Oh no, I love it though.
Is mine.
I'm a big fan.
The thing about Bowen is West Ham are not creating a ton of chances. They're not always going to be overly attacking. But Bowen, man, just finds a way to put the ball in the back of the net. To put the ball in the back of the net.
That's really funny.
Shit. Okay, that's going to be the name of this episode.
God.
But Bowen this weekend exemplifies it against Brighton. There's a chance where Wilson plays him a little far wide, and you think the angle's gone. He finds a way to slide and put the ball past Verbruggen to his far post. And I don't know how he did it, but I want him in my team.
Dude, he's so good.
And the scary thing is, though, I don't trust West Ham, but I do trust Bowen. So it's a very fine line of, do I go with a safer choice or do I go really risky? But the thing is, the safer choice is even cheaper, and I like the fixtures better. Mm-hmm. So maybe I pump the brakes on Bowen for a little bit and go there sometime in the near future. But this point in time, not going to be able to go to Bowen. But for you listeners out there, I think Bowen is a really, really good pick for someone who, let's say you're on Isak for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You thought Isak was going to start returning. Drop the funds down a little bit to Bowen, and you're getting a really good replacement pick there for a striker. And he's currently owned around 5.5%. So you're getting a really nice differential there. And West Ham have Villa at home, which I'm going to say it now on the podcast. West Ham will beat Villa at home.
Please.
No, they will. Villa are highly overperforming. And I think the math is going to math and they'll return down to earth sometime soon.
I'm not going to give my thoughts on Villa because I don't think I'm in a good enough place yet.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
So I'm just going to let that one sit, but I really hope you're right. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. So let's throw out the last pick of the afternoon, Luke.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think a really good risky pick to go for is Ekitike.
Okay. Okay. In that context, I love the idea of Liverpool playing a two-striker front.
I think it could be possible.
With a diamond shape behind that, inverts spearheading that attack.
We know
that there's no Mo anymore for Liverpool. Yeah. Hey, that Reddit post is really good. I don't know what you're talking about. But with that mindset, I think Ekitike, if Liverpool, say, try that midweek and it goes really well with a two-striker front, Ekitike is someone who we could look at and really, he could be a great pick. Maybe Verts is a really risky pick because Gakpo's now injured. Salah's
going to be playing.
Salah's not even going to be allowed to put on a Liverpool kit ever again.
Ever again's a stretch. They may work it out. Let's not jump too many extremes here.
Jamie Carragher says otherwise, but
because Jamie Carragher knows everything.
Yeah, I. I'm just trying to say, I think Ekitike could be a really good pick because I don't know if Liverpool go back to wide wingers. I think it's time to try everything.
I think it is too, but I mean, my main point is that like early in the season, Ekitike started out so well.
Mm-hmm.
11-pointer, yeah. 9-pointer, right. 8-pointer. And then Isak kind of came in. I think there was it an injury why he didn't play? And then Isak started starting and then literally he goes 1-1-1-1, 2-2-2-2, 1-1-1. And now he has a 13-pointer against Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody that is very creative with the ball at his feet. So we also can get the other returns of assists too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably going to see, I mean, I agree with you. Verts playing with Ekitike, I think, is better than Verts playing with Isak from what we've seen so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I just think. And I don't think Slot will, it would be really silly to start Ekitike. He scores 2 goals. So I would probably guess that Isak's going to start in the midweek.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Ekitike in the Premier League again next weekend. And playing Brighton at home, there's going to be goals in that game.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the fixtures really get good for Liverpool. They go Wolves, Leeds, Fulham. They play Arsenal, and then they play Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks good for... I think things are going to be changing for Liverpool soon.
They should, but I also don't see any signs that they're changing currently, right? I think they're in the future, they're going to make the tactical changes they need to start improving, but they're not improving currently, right? I think they're staying stagnantly bad. They're not moving in a direction that looks better.
It looked like they were going to be better against Leeds at Elland Road. And then out of nowhere, Konate decides to hit some parlays for somebody that he knows, I guess. I don't know what's going on with that, but they just can't figure it out. But I still think Ekitike, it could be a really good option. And like I said, this is the risky choice. So
it is. Yeah. Nope. I love it. Good risky pick. And that gets us to the end of this podcast.
Wait, I thought we were doing another 2 hours.
Yeah. I actually thought it was 3. Right.
Yeah, you have the fourth and fifth topic prepared, right?
I always have more FPL topics.
I know. We're gonna go get dinner after this, and what are we gonna do?
Talk about FPL. We'll be sitting there, and I'm gonna be like, "Paul, did you see the price rises?"
No, I didn't.
Well, I'll tell you. But yes, so I think that will bring us to the end of the pod, but. Here's the thing. My final piece of advice for our listeners out there is we did have these 5 magical transfers show up in our account, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like Christmas morning all over again. We get to
early December, Christmas.
Yeah, it's building up into the Christmas season. So thank you, FPL Towers. But don't use all 5 in the first week is my recommendation. get to a point of where you can plug the holes in your team, but don't try your best to not use five free transfers to do that, because these will be really nice to have. Say we get to game week 22, 23, and everyone decides, oh, this is the time to wild card. And I don't even know, maybe to line up with that Chelsea run of fixtures, whatever it may be. If you can, let's say, use two this week and then build it back up to five and just try to stay at a steady state of five, you have a mini wild card right there that allows you to keep that wild card if 23 becomes the popular time and get to a place where you don't have to use that chip and save it, keep it in your back pocket. Because I feel like my gut tells me we're going to have some double game weeks this season because there's a lot of teams playing in Europe. Who knows what happens? You know, there's always the random weather event or the queen could die, you know, typical things that happen in British culture. But there's going to be things that pop up later on in the season, and it's going to get pretty chaotic, pretty wild. So having those chips for that time in the season will be really nice. So try to keep as many free transfers as you can to give yourself a little bit more resiliency and adaptability as we go forward.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, Luke. Especially not feeling like you have to like instantly use all those transfers is really good, because I mean, I think if you're like logged into Reddit, Twitter, Blue Sky, whatever it is, or you watch YouTube creators, I think there's going to be a lot of people pushing the narrative of like, this is the chance to reset to blah, blah, blah. You know, your team's in a good spot and you don't need to use the transfers. Just
yeah,
roll
but
it, you know?
I think there's that, right? Where you can roll or you use one transfer this week, right? Because if you don't use one, you're going to have five again next week and you just burn that transfer. So use at least one. But the thing is, I think you can fix your teams without having to use all five.
Yeah.
Is the most important thing, what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. But I also would say to make sure you maximize your chips over the next couple game weeks. If you have a bench boost, a free hit, triple captain, whatever it is, just make sure you use it before game week 19.
Yes.
Because they like having chips just expire meaningless is a lot of points just disappearing from your team.
Yes. Especially with having two different rounds of chips this season. Chips have allowed us to be more adaptable and I think a little more impactful when used correctly for your team. So it's kind of inverse to what you would think by having more chips, they become less valuable. But I actually think by having more, they become more valuable is what I have seen throughout the course of the season.
I would agree with you on that.
But we'll look back on that at the end of the season. So
we'll see. We'll run the numbers.
Yes, we will. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us for this podcast of Top Bins with Twins. It's a lot of fun filming this with you, Paul. And we will be back with you all next week.
Thanks, everybody.